We are KPFZ 88.1 FM, Lakeport, Clear Lake, all around our beautiful big water, Habartine. Broadcasting from Mount Konokatai and streaming via kpfz.org, DeKalb, Middletown, and the whole wide world. Coming up, Word Weavers for Saturday, September 4, 2021.
Support for this program is provided in part by our members and Lucerne Roofing and Supply, serving Lake and Mendocino counties. They have been in business since 1959 and provide repairs and installation of residential and commercial roofs. Their phone number is 707-263-4200.
KPFZ thanks Carol Cole-Lewis and Upstart Energy for her support. Carol helps homeowners go solar by providing consultation and education about solar energy. She can get quotes from multiple solar installers for both rooftop and ground mount solar arrays, with battery storage options that provide power during electricity outages. You can reach Carol by calling or texting 707-413-0044 or by emailing Carol@upstartenergy.com.
I've just closed my eyes again, climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train, trying to take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind. Ooh, Dreamweaver, I believe you can get me through the night. Ooh, Dreamweaver, I believe we can reach the morning light.
And we are KPFZ. And this is Word Weavers, and I am Alan Fletcher, the producer of Word Weavers. I am delighted to introduce two people who have never been on KPFC before, Jenny and Knox. Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
tell me a little about yourself first. You are a Lake County resident, that is correct?
Yes, I've lived here about 7 months, and before that I was here for 4.5 years. I bought a fixer house here, and I was fixing it up, and then it burned down in one of the wildfires.
That would be the Clayton Fire in Lower Lake, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I actually lied. You have appeared on KPFZ before. You stopped by one Thursday night when we had the open session, and I snuck you out and you said, "Hello, I'm Jenny O'Brien." Always that effect.
Oh, yeah. And I also was in a skit, which was on the Women's Voices show.
Oh, been on there too. Okay.
Barbara Kreiswitz and Miles Cooley.
Okay. And next to you is Knox.
Hi there. How are you, Alan?
I am good. Now, you're an intruder. I understand you are not actually a Lake County person.
That is true. I'm a resident of Mendocino County, and I've moved here in 92 from Southern California, and I moved there from, I should just say, New England, where I was educated to be a journalist.
Oh, wow. And here you are, back in the heart of journalism again.
Here I am.
Do you live within our reception area? Can you actually put up an FM antenna and hear us from your neck of the woods?
I tried the other day, and I had to go to the computer.
That's why we stream.
But all my friends around the country get to hear me on Saturday.
What I've given these two fine people is basically the show in two segments, and We'll start now with segment number one, and they will tell you what it's all about. And I'll be back in the middle to make sure they're on track. So stay tuned, a brand new show, Jenny and Knox doing something. That's what we're here for.
Mysterious.
Mysterious creativities.
Hello, lovely Lake County. Today we're going to talk about the inspirations that Knox and I have had in our lives that have helped us do a lot of artwork and music and writing. And also that includes spiritual influences, family influenced us.
Teachers at school.
Teachers, tools we use. And that would be the first half.
And more importantly also, self-directed habits that we've done to ourselves to make ourselves better artists.
Yeah. And in the second half, we will share examples of poetry and writing that we've found beautiful or inspiring and written. Yeah. And Knox may play a song. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, we might even get a song out of me.
So Knox was from the East Coast, and he moved from, what did you say?
Well, I moved from Western Pennsylvania with daffodils, rattlesnakes, and crayfish to New York City, where it was just a swirl of people and unusual smells of poodles and debris.
Characters.
All the characters. Everybody's dressed up. Everybody's moving. Nothing like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I spent the last 4.5 years in San Francisco after my house burned in Lake County. And I was not a city person. I'm still not. But I adjusted after a month of headaches. And I got used to seeing all that chaos. It was amazing. Yeah. But I'm glad to be back here. It was a little much.
Yeah, you hear people say they're trying to leave New York, but they can't. That pressure of civilization's enormous. The minute you get to New Yorker, once you get from Kansas to New York, you've never been there, you better hurry up. You get 5 seconds to become a New Yorker because the pressure of the city's enormous.
Yeah, there's all kinds of pressures to pay the bills or be successful or prove yourself.
Yeah, the social life, things showing up, odd weather, all kinds of things in the cities.
Yeah.
And there's just a flow of people all the time. And in New York, they're all sassy.
Yeah. The way I dealt with the city actually was to write. So I went inward. The fire happened and I spent years just writing a lot, mostly
about the fire,
poetry, like stream of consciousness, abstract expressions of I don't know what came out, but I just let it flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. gave permission for access, as I call it.
Yeah, I let the subconscious just speak because it was more than I could process. Yeah,
subconscious does a great job of putting out symbols which hold pregnant thoughts about big things that we are involved in, sad, happy or sad.
Yeah, symbols play a big part in my work. I look at them as like symbols, like balls that float around.
That's right. You work on letters.
Letters.
As symbols and where letters come from and what their sound meaning is and their visual meaning, spatial meaning means.
Yeah, I made an alphabet. I interpreted the alphabet as pictographs, and I believe each letter has intrinsic meaning. So I draw them slightly differently, like my own language. It's primitive and spiritual, and I write my poetry that way, so it's a little hard to read for other people, probably, and me sometimes. But I feel like the universe speaks in these... It's like beating we bead the letters into these sounds and it becomes meaningful. Like it's already there and we just work with what's already there.
Yeah, I think letters have esoteric hidden meanings. And you can hear it just in the simplest reference of sound and sense. In the words of a speech therapist, the word love is an alveolar glide. Love. And there's the sound. It goes out. So words intrinsically have sounds that produce the meaning that they entail.
Yeah, like I'll have A as an arrow up. It points upward. V would be diving down, victorious dive. I've gone through all the letters. Like T is travels toward and to and through. So I draw arrows on the T because it points in four directions. M has nipples. I add nipples because it's the mother making from mountains, making magic. W brings wisdom like water from above.
I like to think of the letter M as being what someone looks like if you're looking at them and they're bending over and you're looking at their behind. They look like a McDonald's sign.
Uh-oh.
Just a little humor.
Yeah, I have a bunch of poems that incorporate that. But I think we were going to talk about your idea of précis.
Well, that's probably one of the most important things. Well, the first important thing that happened to me in my long journey is understanding that the periodic table, which contains the 92 elements, were all organized mathematically into groups of eight. They have just tight little organization. And then I realized, oh, my spit, the sun, things under a microscope were all mathematically perfect. And then I realized, so if everything inside and out is running on a perfect dance of math, who am I to say I'm a chaos in all of this? I can't be. I cannot be a chaos in all of this mathematical beauty and probably beyond math. There's beauty here. So I am not a chaos under the sun. I realize that I am intrinsically connected to everything, and it is my job to feel my way through all of this and not put up barriers of separation. So I started off with the idea that everything's included. Everything is connected. And my second big thing was landing in a school where Mr. Landis, the great teacher, taught me the opposite of condensing things. Précis is French for being precise. So what we were taught was, well, here's a simple example. I'll try to say it quickly. One of our first précis was in class, and we took it home, and it was a 2,000 rambling word thing about a salesman walking through a neighborhood and he wants to sell a vacuum cleaner. He finds a lady and she's in a red bathrobe and she comes to the door and he puts his foot in and tries to get the lady to listen and da da da. By 2,000 words later, he's walking down the road. So what's the précis of action or ideas? There's only one sentence. The salesman didn't make the sale. Doesn't matter about the lady, the bad neighborhood, the good neighborhood, the salesman, which is the subject, didn't make the sale. So when you make that kind of idea understanding, then you understand a lot of people stuff. You can understand the actions that people do. But when you start to boil down ideas to like nuggets of truth, now you end up with things like Emerson's essay on a gift, 1,000 words long. He talks about all this stuff, different kinds of things you can buy, da 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 da, things that you can make, da 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 da. The précis, the best gift is handmade. And you get that from reading because that's what he says. The best gift is handmade. So if you can précis things, and I want all you teachers that are teaching English to realize I learned to pray C in sixth grade. And in eighth grade, Mr. Landis opened a book, read 1,000 words, and we had 10 minutes to do the lawyer thing, pray C it down to what was said. That made me very critical analysis, up against my expansive analysis. So I was pretty much set for the rest of my life because I could pick at things and I could use my feelings to expand past the pile of pickage.
That's what you meant by, you said pickaxes and flashlights once, I think.
Well, yeah. Conscious mind is like a flashlight with a floodlight on your helmet, and you got a little pickaxe, and you're using your concentration, and ding, 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 ding. You're trying to chip out a better melody, a better word. But in your subconscious, it's floodlights because you feel stuff.
I stay there a lot these days. I'm in the floodlight.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love the floodlights because there's a lot to feel. I already did the knowing thing. I'm not as much into the knowing thing with my attention and my little consciousness trying to analyze stuff. I allow things to come to me through my subconscious imagination, dream world. And I ask of my imagination for things to come of me. That's how daring I've become. I ask my imagination for a Guernica-type song about capitalism or the virus or what's going on. I make a reference, and guess what? It shows up.
I guess I used the Precy when I analyzed the alphabet.
Yes, you did.
But now I weave that into my work sort of freely.
Mm-hmm.
The sounds, you string them together the way, like, I'm half Irish, and I think the Irish love to play with language, and I grew up with my father. He would read me stories, he would not read, but make up stories every night, which I really appreciated. And he would also, he would do a lot of wordplay, so.
Irish are the bards.
Yeah.
They are the
I'm
bards.
I'm grateful for that. It's like an island of farmers with the most beautiful place to live. And I don't think it matters so much whether you're wealthy when you live with so much natural beauty.
That's why I moved here. So I could relax and allow things out. Because I didn't need to try to make a lot of money. I needed to make sense of all that I was feeling.
Oh yeah, so you've talked a lot to me about feeling, and when I met you, I said the Moody Blues quote, thinking is the best way to travel.
Right.
And you said you had changed it.
To feelings are the best way to travel.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, yes, I use my spotlight mind, knock knock on the hammer. I know what's going on underneath the hammer. I go to the other room, I turn the floodlights on, and I feel what's going on. And now I know what's going on too, because I feel through my feelings what's going on. So both produce the same.
Mm-hmm. And you said feeling is different than emotion.
Correct. Emotions are emoting about something that's happened, and it's from an object or an event. And feelings are an overriding quality of, yes, some quality of emotion, if you will, but it's deeper than that. It's a feeling like the feeling of mercy. It's not just a feeling, it's a knowing feeling. I see this, I logically understand they need help, I have mercy. It's a combination. So feelings are deeper than emotions, because emotions are about gossip, your life, what's going on. So you emote.
Yeah, I think artists tend to be very sensitive often, and it's sometimes because of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I never distinguished that difference consciously that you just mentioned. But like for me, feeling might be intuitive or a psychic sense, or how the room feels when you walk in, or how mm-hmm. I feel around someone. And you can alter that too with your own energy.
Yes, you can.
And I think it helps to process the old emotions a bit if they're there, especially if you had a bunch of trauma. So, like, I know we both had alcoholic families, and we could talk about both, you know. Well, I have stories of the trauma, but I also have stories of so many things that helped me get through it.
For me, it was just a simple matter that I was not allowed to speak. And I did speak. As maybe some of you can tell, I have no hesitations. I am very confident. So, of course, I was a little troublemaker. So they stayed clear of making me talk like angry. So I didn't hear much. And to be honest, at 18 years old, I had to do what Jack London did. I had to pin up words all around my head to get my vocabulary up. I was stuck in a yellow room with crayons in my mouth. Not words. I didn't hear words ever till I got to school. So it took a long time in that house of no feeling for me to really master even a vocabulary. And I did it because it was necessary. So I really encourage artists to have self-recursive, self-driven attention and self-driven concepts for techniques, or complete your projects, whatever it takes, but understand self-driving.
Yeah, I think if you're in a situation that's hard, it's like sometimes you don't know what power you have, but you do have power. You can pick up a pen or an instrument, or go outside to a space that's beautiful, or get away from the problem and find a cozy place that you feel safe and comfortable, and just see what comes out. And I think over time, it eventually your subconscious works things out, or you get more confident and comfortable in the world.
I agree. I think part of that comes from what I learned in the Yoga Sutras. Now for your instruction in the science of union with life. 2, this union is achieved by restricting your attention. 3, once restricted, you find your own nature. Well, if you're under a tree and you restrict your attention to just a feeling that you're working with, and you do that over and over again, the real self and eventually is the witness, not the ego, not the altar, not the broken child, the real self. Mm-hmm. Because you've learned to restrict things in your subconscious, the broken furniture, and now your real self is focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I, as a kid, I felt like Matilda. She was a little girl in a story by Roald Dahl, and she was precocious, but her family was kind of grotesque. And it's a funny story. I think they made a movie too, but I felt like Matilda, and I was suffering. And I don't spend much time dwelling on it now, but one of the things I used to do was I would get on my bicycle at age 12, and I was allowed to bike around our town. And I would go to this beautiful spot. It had a magnolia tree on the campus of a very old college that had been a nunnery, and they had a garden. They had Victorian dormitories everywhere, and there was like chamber music playing in the air. And I would climb this tree with my book and I would read. And I did this regularly. And then I would also spend times at the library a lot. I helped the libraries. I would spend lunch hour at the library. I was such a nerd. I would read like science fiction and poetry. And there was a bookstore, which I loved. It was called Mandrakes in San Rafael. And it had those dusty shelves up to the ceiling, and you could smell the books when you came in. And the man who owned it looked kind of like a wizard. He had this long white beard, and his wife had made a patchwork quilt on the wall, which was the Patchwork Girl of Oz, I think. And his son made collages by hand, even though digital art was coming about. And he told me about how he did his collages, and they were so special, and that bookstore was special, and I would get all the art books and the poetry compilations and bring them home. So that was one way that I dealt with my family, and another was to play piano. And so I spent many hours playing piano.
For me, the alchemy of my soul started pretty much when I got to college, because something happened. Well, I was in a car accident that made me realize that life was fragile. And I started doing alchemy of my situation right away. And one of the things I told you, I think I've told you, I know I needed to do more vocabulary and I needed to stand on top of my words. So I would walk down Commonwealth Avenue in Boston, where I went to school for journalism. And for 2 years, I would just do singing at the top of my lungs and make things rhyme or do subconscious, stream of conscious. Never lost a beat. Always had things to say, even though they sort of made sense, did make sense. But I had good logic. It made sense. The result is what you hear today. A skillful ability to move words, juxtaposition, cheek to cheek, thread to thread, bird to bird, upon a freight of ideas, and pick one to make it work. All because I practiced, self-driven, to make sure that I could come up with words at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years of doing that certainly helped me register a power of my own personality.
You are amazing the way that you can do poetry on the spot, out of your head, like a beatnik or something better. It's just amazing to me.
I developed that skill, like I told you. I was a quiet kid with crayons in my mouth with a family who said, "You're not allowed to speak." And the only speaking that I did was scolding them. And that got into a problem for them because my scolding was so correct. So they kept me even in more quiet situations because we don't want to disturb the Wookiee.
The
Star Wars.
Oh.
And so I ended up waiting until I was 18 years old. So all you people out there, the late bloomers.
And you're dyslexic.
And I'm dyslexic. I was a late bloomer, and look, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, I think anyone can write and find or make art of some kind, express something.
And it's about feelings.
Yeah.
Like I had a feeling. I went to the beach the other day, and it was beautiful. It was gray and Argyle sands stuck in my head. I couldn't get it out of my head. I got home. What is that? I say to you, the audience, what is that? That's something that's in your head that's saying, expand me, open up to Argyle sands. And when I was done, 2 days later, I had a great poem.
I love that poem, and we're going to hear that next. There'll be a short break, and we will be sharing some of our poetry, some poetry that we've loved, maybe talking a little more about the poetry and some of the subjects that we've already mentioned. So thank you, listeners, for listening.
And we'll be back with a little more, let's call it, meaty poetic art level instead of just the technical stuff.
Yeah, we won't just be talking heads at you.
Yeah, and we'll have a little more technical stuff. I have a couple ideas I wouldn't mind sharing.
We're full of many things to share here.
I think ideas are important. They're little rulers. They're little equations that expand your space.
This is KPFZ, 88.1 FM Lakeport, and all that good stuff. And you are listening to Word Weavers with a mysterious and delightful pair of people, Jenny and Knox. Here we go into their second segment.
We're back, and here we have a large oracle book to consult, many works of poetry to share with you, and if we have time, we may share a song played live by Knox.
Hopefully we have a song. And the Oracle Book is an old dictionary from the 1859 Worcester's Dictionary out of Boston. And I found it in the bottom of an old building when I worked, when I lived in Boston. I was given access to clear out whatever I wanted. And there it was, this beautiful old dictionary. And I open it up and I find magical words, magical things. So that's what the Oracle Book is. And it's sort of like what one might call a tool to inspire, amuse you, to bring you out of yourself so that you can, you might say, just have a little breeze on your ability to create words. And the Oracle Book stimulates.
Victorian jazz.
Victorian jazz, right there in all these old pages.
There are words in there I've never seen or heard.
Yeah, and it's full of old stuff. Yeah. And Worcester dealt with old pronunciation and the history. And his counterpart at the same time was Webster. And he only cared about the new slang in the American words, 1859. Well, we know who won. Webster's dictionaries won, and Worcester never made it past 1900.
Shall we consult that now?
That, and also I did want to say one thing. I do have this little five. Ideas are equations, and this is an equation for your life and your creativity, and mostly for writing. So here's five integrating concepts. Read as much as you can. If you want to, insects, everything, read everything. Don't just read poetry or just the subject at hand. Read as much, especially deep spiritual literature and things like that. Two, develop your heart. Change your heart. You can change your mind. Why not learning to change your heart? Because when you change your heart, it's always up a step and you have a higher perception. Higher perception brings better writing. So when you get a higher perception, number three, be daring. Take all those skills and exaggerate. Do dissonant chords. Do dissonant sounding phrases. Be daring. Exaggerate with your writing skills, because when you come back, that's your style. If you dare to go beyond your style. So, after that, be willful. Yeah, sometimes you have to be the canary in the coal mine for our culture. The gas is coming in, it's toxic, and you have to be willful, and you have to write a poem about the virus or about the spider monkeys on the White House. But you want to be willful, confident, because you're right, because you're dealing with life. You're not dealing with money. And then, finally, it's important to remember to be quiet. Those five things will get you into big trouble with your writing. So we can go right to a little useful concept, and that would be the Oracle Book. And I'll let Jenny open it up since my fingerprints are all over it. And she'll open it up to a page and we'll just see. If it doesn't bring us a valuable request, then...
And you may have heard thumping because the book is very large.
Right.
So I'm opening this amazingly huge dictionary. Shall I just point?
Just open it up to a page and the Oracle Book takes care of it.
Okay.
So here we are. She is pointing at a long word.
Oh.
That is hum.
Oh.
Hum. And hum is a long word. It comes from Germany, to make noises like bees, to applaud, and to milt or soft roe a codfish, esteemed delicacy in Scotland, is what she had her finger on. Hum. Oh, let's have a plate of hum.
I saw it not sacred or divine.
Okay, there's another.
Secular, profane.
Right.
Is that the same word?
Let me see.
It is. Or human.
It's the beginning of human, see?
Humming humans.
See? See here, we've picked out a hum, the noise of the bees, but it starts humans. the noise of humans.
Interesting.
So now we have a poem about hum.
And I thought of om.
Yeah. See what the book will do to you? Human, humane, through derived from the same word, Latin, differ in signification, human race, nature, human indescape, you. It deals with human beings. H-U-M.
We're humming.
Humming. So there's the Oracle book. Perfect. We get a little, could we write about hum and humans?
Yeah.
Of course we could. But we don't have time for that. So I'm going to close the Oracle book.
Thank you, Oracle.
So Jenny and I both have poems to read.
I think I want to weigh that thing. It must be like, just picture the biggest book you've ever.
15 pounds, easy. And it's old and it's wonderful.
Yes, we want to hear your poem.
Well, one of the things I did was, as I tried to set us up, and that is Argyle Sands, I mentioned that. And went to the beach with a friend, and the sea sand slope was so argyled and beautiful that it just wouldn't leave my head. Argyle Sands. I got home. My friend was gone. I'm in the middle of the night. Next day, Argyle Sands. Well, thanks to this new friend that I have that wants poetry, I was able to write a poem to my new friend about what? This obsession with Argyle Sands. So I sat down and I just worked it out. And I sent it to my friend, and
that's me.
That's Jenny. And here's my day at the beach. I'm an older man, so I'm thinking about death. I'm thinking about the nature of beauty and how it's an inspiration. And I'm thinking about the planet being organized. So here it is. Argyle Sands welcomed my feet. Posted in sand dollars floating in effervescent pyrite and chips of calcium. This is the bootstrap of the world, holding the leg of lamb. Socked in with fog, one could hear the percolation. All the dissolving bits tumbling downhill, on and on dissolving upon themselves. There in the plaid sands, stretched across the gray mat, was the resolution into union. My feet dissolved into the salty effervescence. No visions or revisions. My cells dropped into the gray moment. Quiet logic has been arrested. But the Madras Road did not get done there with my feet. Straight ahead was Clarabella spiraling her stiletto heels and toucast white skirt into the sand. The dancer's legs twisted a beautiful chaos of debris, not quite dissolved, Inuit artscape of colors and shapes. The beauty of broken trees against sedum zofrost, broken glass against pebbled sand, everything reformed, everything in their perfect character, heading to dissolve. Vessels of driftwood, a framed armada with one last purpose. Yet behind it all was a dusty plume. A beautiful dancer had already danced miles away. The Argyle crewmen in the dissolving boats, like Vikings looking for their North Star, they exist. Beauty's trail leads to the land of lamb. Creative equations, stacked colored bricks, laughter, globed fruit. She exists. Leaving the ocean knowing that I would come back, yearning for dissolve, like a chip of sand, rounded and polished, I will be ready for the next salty breath and the dance with deathly beauty. I exist. So that's one phrase bugging me for 2 days, and see what happens. You have to all dig in, allow these things to come out.
I love that poem.
Thank you.
I love your reading of it. The way you read it is even better than seeing it on paper.
Oral interpretation is an important part. And if you can transfer it to your relationships, it's even nicer.
Yeah, our language developed without writing first. So.
Correct. Oral interpretation was the as they said in Marshall McLuhan's Patterns of Culture, oral interpretation is a cool medium where the speaker massages the audience and the attention span, if not perfect, is absorbed. Where television is a hot medium, where television attention is frictioned, and it's not cool. It's not hot.
Well, they give you, the TV gives you the answers. It gives you the resolution.
Yep, but it still massages you down. The speaker massages you up.
Yeah.
Because you have interface with the speaker.
I think we allow openness in the playing that we do. I was going to say, I think adults can still play because we have even more to play with.
We do.
Words.
If you're developed, yes.
And I like to take the words and change them. So I call it wordsmithing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to read some of the words I've made up.
I would like that.
They're on my paper here, and I don't quite know what we're going to get because they just went on the paper. But we have snobviously.
Snobviously. We like that. I'm going to pick my nose on that one.
Fab normal.
Oh, yeah.
That's like when you're fabulously normal or...
Well, it's almost...
Abnormal. You're abnormal fabulously.
Yeah. Beyond cliche.
pandemonic. That was actually three words. That was pandemonium, demonic, and pandemic.
Oh, very double and triple negative.
We have rentitentiary, which is like you're stuck paying rent, like a penitentiary.
Well, I can see that. But I can even see it more as the bankers going off into our century, thinking the rents just can go up and up and up.
Oh, yeah.
And what are we going to do?
Keep paying for houses that are already built.
I don't know yet.
Dentitentiary, like the dentist. Although I do believe in going to the dentist. And tentitentiary, I guess, would be if you're in a tent.
It would be.
But that could also be lovely. Relook at the relics, turn gloom to glam, schizophrenic. That's like schizophrenic, but you're doing skits frantically.
There we go. Alters, alive. All you people that have multiple alters, let's get that word.
My mom is one of them. I'm probably one of them.
I am. I have lots of voices. I have lots of characters.
Yeah, we have, instead of obstacle, I say obstacle. Like you're stuck.
Perfect.
Globstruckle. Sometimes I just make up new ones. What else? When I swear, I say crumbaloonies.
That's a nice phrase.
Kersmudgets, crumbuckets, hullabaloony, and kersmudgeon. Grumplestiltskin. I like that one. Profiteering. That's like prophets. Profiteering.
Yeah.
A prophet, like a spiritual person. Rectacle. That's like spectacles. You put on your rectacles. That would be bad. Sulkaholic. Crumplicated.
There we go.
And just a few more. Explodation mark. Zipper snapper. Bordinary. Mapprehensive. You'd be apprehensive of maps.
Oh, yeah. Mapprehensive. We like that. Give the navigator, the dyslexic navigator, some time.
Although Google does it these days. Jobituary. That's like an obituary for your job.
Oh, yeah. Many people quitting these days.
Yeah. I don't know if I said bordinary. And lastly, oh, wait. There's a few more. I feel like Fumbelina instead of Thumbelina. Chain of Momand instead of Command. And what a predicament. You predicted it. And lastly, farticulate.
Farticulate. I like that. And I have one phrase, word to add to that, because I use it all the time, because it is part of our time. It's all over the media, and it's even dribbled down into the social columns, and I call it contrariitis.
Oh.
It's a big disease now, contrariitis. So I say that, and even though it is not in the dictionary, people understand.
Yes, I knew one of those contrarians.
Contrarians is the nice way. Contrariitis suggests that they need to take something for themselves.
So
Jenny's going to read one of her poems now.
Okay. One of my poems. I have written so many poems that it was hard to even discover which one to read.
Believe me. Her books are like pickup sticks here beside my chair. There's so many journals, I'm jealous.
It was, yeah, therapeutic. So this, you know, I'm just praying this comes out well. Let's see. Symphony of light and sound, the presence here, you're all unbound. Greetings from the other side, hallowed be the holes we hide. Woven from the furthest reaches, talking to the one who teaches, birthing, blooming on the beaches, growing greatly, godly, grandly, mother makes her magic madly. Phantom floating free from fright, flying free, nectar of night. Jasmine joking, gasping, grasping. There's a line missing here. Perfect, perfect potion, peak and swell, rolling ocean, wisdom well.
Nice.
There will be others in a moment here. Let's try this one. I've been singing in the crowd, watch who's going to wake up now. Men with furrowed brows and frowns, burrowed deep in dark brown ground. Wake up wise with wisdom water, nothing's wrong, it's all the matter. Matter making, rights and rungs, the wisest whispers are, how come it to be this or that, flipping, floating, fortunes fate, one, two, tree, fort, this is how you open doors, floors are ceilings, ceiling, floors, the sky ciel is a ceiling dance hall for angels love. So I just write stream of consciousness late at night, and that's what comes out.
Yeah, I had learned a little structural stuff because I was a journalism major, and you have to have an ending and a beginning and all that stuff. So I basically have been trained to have an ending. But I short-circuited the whole thing. When I do an introduction to a poem, to anything, it's basically the conclusion. I'm just going to say that with bigger, loftier words at the end. Unless it's a real dynamic thing and I have to hit someone with a stone and the last phrases are radical. But most of the time I just end with the introduction in a different color because I want to teach people feelings.
Yeah, feelings. Shall I read one more of mine or just go on to other people's?
Up to you. I have Wallace Stevens for myself to read.
Yeah. We only have a little time.
We have 5 minutes.
How about we hear Wallace Stevens?
Okay, Wallace Stevens was a great poet during the last century, contemporary Ernest Hemingway. And the poem is 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird, but I'm going to condense it for time's sake and clarity's sake to some ways of looking at a blackbird. So here it goes. One, among the 20 snowy mountains, the only moving thing was the eye of a blackbird. I was of three minds, like a tree, in which there are three blackbirds. The blackbird whirled in the autumn wind. It was a small part of the pantomime. A man and a woman are one. A man and a woman and a blackbird are one. I do not know which I prefer, the beauty of inflections, the beauty of innuendos, the blackbird whistling, or just after. The blackbird flew out of sight. It marked the edge of one of many circles. The river is moving. The blackbirds must be flying. It was evening all afternoon. It was snowing. And it was going to snow. And the blackbirds sat in the cedar limbs. That's Wallace Stevens.
Wow.
He was a very unique poet.
I love the circles part.
That's my favorite. Because that's life. Endless circles.
Yeah, I leave my O's open. I don't close them.
Endless circles.
I will read one by Mary Oliver. And it's called Wild Geese. You may have heard it. I think it's pretty popular. Wild geese, you do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert, repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the geese, wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
Beautiful poem. And she made a point there about having access to your imagination. You have to do that as a good writer. There's no writer's block if all your memories are sitting down and not thrown around like a broken furniture. Your subconscious just leaks all suggestions. If you want to talk about toads, go into your imagination. They come hopping out.
Yeah, I don't judge them anymore.
I allow things to come to me. That's the deal.
Yeah, it's beyond us.
Because I can already do coming to things. I've made 200 plus thousand pieces of pottery.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to do any more of that.
The pottery and the palmistry.
Yeah, palmistry for another day if you're interested.
He reads palms. He can see everything about you.
But I don't do futures. I only tell you who you aren't and who you are. Future's up to you. But it's given me a lot of skills in understanding the mind.
Yeah.
So we still have things to talk about forever. Endless circles.
This has been
really fun. It's been fun.
Yeah. Well, we will be signing off. And thank you, Lake County.
That's true. We hope that artists out there, whether you're making form things or musical things or poetry things, some of this helped you bridge the gap so that there's no blocks.
Yeah, the inspiration is everywhere. It's like I could get inspired by everything around me.
As I say in a little phrase, and I'm sure it's a real word, musability. What is the musability of that? How does it stimulate me? Somebody is a good muse.
Yeah, there's nature and people and ideas and, oh, theater.
So we're hoping we mused you well today.
Yep.
Signing off.
Bye.
And this is KPFZ Word Weavers, and you have been listening to two new performers on Word Weavers, Jenny and Knox. Jenny, would you like to say goodbye to our delightful audience?
Sure. I've just been so grateful to be on here, and I'm thrilled to be back in Lake County. It's such a beautiful place, and there are just the most magical and creative people living in little corners and tucked away and probably lonely lately with the virus, but I'm just hoping that everyone stays inspired and finds meaning and love. And I love the people here and the trees and the nature, and I hope we preserve that.
And I'd like to thank you, Alan, for giving me an opportunity to speak. And I hope that I have given a good inspirational talk to Lake County artists. Whether you're a potter or a writer or a musician, I hope that some of the things that I gave you inspire you to open up your imaginations and allow things to come out and be creative.
And it is a small bubble and a small world, and there's so much possibility to work together.
Thank you, Jenny and Knox. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. I enjoyed being in your presence. Good luck.
The intro and outro music have been, appropriately, The Dreamweaver by Gary Wright.
Astro.